Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 23 of season 3. The show is brought to you by Kitchen Table Communications and the Voice of Bun Bay Radio Network. And we are comforted that season 3 is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Last show, we started with the question, how do you create farmers? Of course, there are lots of ways to do that, but we focused on one of them, post-secondary education programs. It's not the only path to the farm, but in a culture caught up in a post-secondary predisposition, it's one that is essential, and we need all the strategies possible to attract new farmers. Lord knows the convenient hours and lucrative vacation bonuses and generous benefit packages on the farm won't do it all on their own. One of the gold standards of educational experience is called teachable moments. These come from the interplay of teachers and students. They often arise out of shared experiences in real-world situations or from teasing out pearls of wisdom in the midst of the muck of the internet. They are moments that are ripe for learning, where new growth and awareness become possible. This can happen in the field, the lab, even the classroom, but they require interaction. So this week, we're back at the Agriculture Technician Program at the College of the North Atlantic in Corner Brook, and we'll talk with both an instructor and three of her students.
What kind of a person will succeed at farming? Someone who has the passion for it, someone who will persevere, somebody who has a pretty good work ethic, and I think you have to be a bit of a risk taker as well.
If nothing else, this program is interesting. The things that I've learned, the black holes I've gone into on YouTube.
That there hasn't been any challenges really being a woman in agriculture, and it's nice to have that kind of equality.
What other teacher is going to be brave enough to let us have an actual debate on GMOs?
We'll go visit farms and have the farmers talk to them, and most farmers will try and give them a good picture of here's what it's actually like. Yes.
Sharon Wright grew up on a classic mixed farm, took an ag degree at the University of Guelph, worked in the agriculture feed business in Ontario. Then after a move to Newfoundland Labrador, she worked for the provincial government before moving to CNA to teach in their agriculture program. And yes, she is a part of Wright's family farm in Pasadena. We chat about how the skills needed in a real-world, high-risk, labor-intensive sector can be taught through formal education. If you listened last week, you've already met JC Bennett, Amy Mercer, and Stephanie Jeffrey, three ag tech students. I talked to them as well near the end of the show to get their perspective on the program, how it has changed them, and the increasing gender inclusivity in farming. It's mid-October. Let's go back to the classroom. Put down your fountain pen. This bit will not be on the midterm.
Sharon Wright, and we're here in classroom at College of the North Atlantic, and I'm instructor in the Agriculture Technician Program.
How long has the program been going?
Our first intake was September 2019, mm-hmm. So two classes have graduated so far.
And the inspiration to set this program up was to provide some professional training or practical training?
As I understand it, at least, because I wasn't involved in setting it up. It was a long, long time.
You're just doing the work of making it happen.
Yes. So as I understand it, it was developed to try and have a homegrown agriculture education program here in the province. So prior to this, if you wanted to study agriculture, you left the province. Most people from Newfoundland would go to Nova Scotia, to Truro. It was Nova Scotia Agriculture College and then became part of Dalhousie. And then there was probably a few who went a little bit different path and went to the University of Guelph. Those that saw the light and went to Guelph.
I take it you're an alumni.
I am, yes.
But is there kind of a core group of people who come from rural areas or farming families?
We've had quite a mix, actually. Mm-hmm. So we've had students who are from farming families here in the province, and farming families is often grandparents. Mm-hmm. We've had students who are from rural Newfoundland. We've had students who are from St. John's. We've had them from all across the province, from Port-au-Basque all the way across to St. John's and lots of places in between. Mm-hmm. And we've had some international students as well. And we've had students who are straight out of high school. We've had other students who have come as a sort of a second career. I think our youngest student was 18 straight out of high school, and we had one who was, I think, right around 50 as our oldest student, and we've had everything in between. We've had people who have had careers and left those careers and want to do something different and came here. We've had students who are just, you know, they've kind of bounced around a little bit and trying to figure out what they want to do and then decided this is what they want to do. So we've had a pretty diverse bunch.
Mm-hmm. You've had a couple of graduating classes. Do a number of the students end up in agriculture?
Yes. Yeah. So we've had a few students that have gone on to work at developing their own farms. Mm-hmm. We've had a few students who are working on farms, existing farms, as agriculture technicians. And we've had some students who have finished the program and gone in other directions eventually. Mm-hmm. And we also have a few students who have gotten jobs within industry as well. Mm-hmm. I would say we were counting them up one day, and I think more than 50% of our classes still, the two classes, are still involved in agriculture.
Yeah, that's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah.
As an educational program, I'm sure you have reams and reams of learning objectives for the whole course or whatever, but are there some skills or abilities that you think are particularly important? You live on a farm. You know what the daily life of farmers is, but are there some skills that you think are key for these students to be learning?
Well, we offer a very diverse program, so we go from everything from the basic biology of plants and animals, and we teach about equipment operations, and they get to do that sort of thing, and then we get into more specific courses in fruit and vegetable production or dairy production, things like that. And then we have some business courses as well. There's three business courses as well, kind of round things out. I don't know if there's skills that... I think it depends on what the students want to do. So, you know, if you come into this or you're heading out of this thinking that what you want to do is something related to livestock production, then I think the most important skills to take from that are things related to animal care and animal husbandry and, you know, making sure that you're doing that part of it right. There's lots of professionals out there that if you're going to have a dairy farm, there's lots of people out there that can come in and help you formulate your ration. You need to know the basics, what goes into that ration and is this a good ration, but I think it's more important that you know how to care for the animal. And it's sort of the same things along the lines of, say, fruit and vegetable or field crops. Mm-hmm. And I always tell the students, we talk about, say, weed management or something like that, this course they're doing right now, and I'll tell them, you don't need to know, you know, which chemical will kill this weed. You look that stuff up. So you need to know where to go to get that information, but more importantly, you need to know things like more of the stewardship type stuff. So crop rotations, how do crop rotations work and why would you use them and what kind of crops would you use in a good rotation? Or, you know, maybe you're going to look at cover crops or things like that. That's more of the stewardship and husbandry type stuff, I think, is more of the important skills because there's so many things that there's people out there that can help you with it or you can look it up.
And you might look it up anyways. Even if you sort of thought you knew what it was, just to be sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that I think is not as important, but I think still is important, in that they get the basics or the foundations of the business.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our students, even if they've gone to work for somebody else, and some of them are happy doing that, but a lot of them are still hoping that somewhere along the way they'll do something on their own, even if it's small scale on their own, besides whatever they're working at. And so in order to do that, you need to have a little bit of business basics. And so I think that's an important thing that we give them as well. I mean, they're not going to come out of this course with MBA level business, but they're going to come out with some basics so that when you have to go and borrow money or you have to go sit down with your banker, at least you have an idea what you're looking at. Or, you know, you get your financial statements back from your accountant. At least you can look at it and say, okay, I did pretty good, or this is what I need to work on and things like that. So I think that kind of basic kind of stuff is really important. The other thing, and I don't know that we teach it as much as I think they maybe get it on their work term, is that whole realization that, yeah, there's going to be some labor involved. And even if you're looking at some of that larger scale farming, say you're looking at the large scale grain farming, which we don't even have in this province, but you go to another province and this is what you're looking at, there's still going to be some labor involved in that, or there's going to be long days. Yep. So that kind of stuff is important as well. And I don't know that we teach that. as much as we talk about it a little bit, try and give them an idea of what to expect.
But you include that in the curriculum because they have a 12-week, is it,
yeah, practicum? 12-week.
Plus you go out, I think, to Pinsbrook Research Station.
Yeah.
And so they actually get on a tractor and they're doing all kinds of very practical things as well.
Yeah, they learn all about safety and they learn how to drive tractors and how to operate equipment, have little tests and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is we try and do a fair number of farm tours.
Okay.
You know, we'll go visit farms and have the farmers talk to them. And we don't tell farmers what to say or anything like that.
Yeah.
But most farmers will try and give them a good picture of here's what it's actually like.
Yeah. Do you have a piece of music I can use here?
Yeah, I put some thought into that because I'm afraid
you knew I was going to ask you.
Yeah, that's right. One that I thought of is Garth Brooks sings Standing Outside the Fire, because I kind of think about that sometimes. And not to say that I don't always jump right in.
Right.
Sometimes I stand back too. But I kind of feel like a lot of things that we've done in our lives, we just kind of dive right in. So that's one that I kind of think of.
We call them cool, those hearts that have no scars to show, the ones that never do let go and risk the tables being turned. We call them fools who have to dance within the flame, through chance of sorrow and the shame that always comes with getting burned. But you've got to be tough when consumed by desire, 'cause it's not enough just to stand outside the fire. We call them strong, those who can face this world alone, who seem to get by on their own, those who will never take the fall. We call them weak, who are unable to resist the slightest chance love might exist, and for that forsake it all. They're so hell-bent on giving, walking a wire, convinced it's not living if you stand outside the fire. Standing outside the fire. Standing outside the fire. Life is not tried, it is merely survived if you're standing outside the fire.
Garth Brooks with Standing Outside the Fire, as requested by my guest today, Sharon Wright, an instructor in the Agriculture Technician Program at CNA in Corner Brook. Let's head back to the classroom.
What's been the response over the past few years from the farming community and agriculture community about having a program once again?
I think it's been good. It seems to have been well received. We have had a number of farmers looking for our students for summer employment. And I always try and tell people if I get a chance to talk to them that this isn't just a student laborer. We're hoping that, yes, you can send them out to weed, but we're hoping that you'll talk to them a little bit, you know, give a little bit of mentorship as well. But no, it seems to be pretty well received in the farming community. I haven't heard anybody say, well, what are you doing that for? So I guess that's good.
Do you get a sense from seeing a number of cohorts of students going through and other experience, what kind of a person will succeed at farming?
What kind of a person will succeed at farming? I think someone who has the passion for it, someone who will persevere because there's always going to be something. You know, somebody who has a pretty good work ethic because, you know, you're going to have those long days. And I guess as well, there's going to be disappointments along the way. And I think you have to be a bit of a risk taker as well, because I don't know if there's any other business where you have as much uncertainty. And I guess the other thing too, I always thought my dad was an optimist, and I think you got to be an optimist to be a farmer, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're going to get disappointments, and you're going to, you know, you're going to get things thrown at you, and we have no control over weather. We employ a number of techniques and technologies that can help us, I guess, mitigate the weather little bit. Yeah. But you never know. I mean, Fiona came through there a few weeks ago, and generally speaking, from what I've seen, it seems like, you know, the agriculture community, the farms, fared pretty well. I think we were just outside of where it hit the worst. Now, we've lost an equipment shed, blew over in the storm, but it's one of those things. We got to replace that somehow, sometime. And
it's an important lesson
we'll
for the students.
Figure it out. That's
a teachable moment. Isn't that the thing that they use?
Yeah, absolutely. Teachable moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
What was your own path to agriculture? Did you grow up on a farm?
I did. Yeah. So I grew up in southwestern Ontario, just outside of London, just outside of a little town called Thorndale. I grew up on I guess you'd call it in the 70s and 80s and 90s. It was a typical average mixed family farm. Mm-hmm. We milked about 25 cows maybe, and we had a farrow to finish operation as well with the sow herd of, I think there was about 20 sows, and raised all the pigs up and that sort of thing. And we cropped all the land on the farm to make feed for the animals. Mm-hmm. And every summer we put in some chickens, some meat birds that we raised every summer. And my parents, when they sold them in the fall, they split whatever money between my brothers and I put in the bank account. And by the time I went to university, there was enough money there to pay a lot of my university.
So you have the chickens to thank for your education.
Yes, I hate chickens, but I got a university education from them, so that helped. So I went to university in Guelph, a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture, a major in Animal Science, and a minor in Ag Business. And then I worked in agriculture, I guess, my whole career after that. Started out working for feed companies and feed dealerships, and was always Purina. And had a little bit of a break in there where we started a family. And then I went back into the feed business again. And then we moved out here to Newfoundland. And I actually worked for the provincial government here for 11 years in agriculture business. And then my last while there, I was manager of Agriculture Extension Services. So I looked after the ag reps across province and a little bit of a lot of things in that job.
You know agriculture from a variety of perspectives.
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
This is always a hard one. I have to admit that as a transplant to Newfoundland, well, we've had our share of moose and all that sort of thing. I can eat moose. You know, I don't have any problem eating it. I don't know that I'd say it's my favorite food, though. I think, and this maybe goes back to growing up, whenever we had special occasion at home, like birthdays and things like that, it was always roast chicken and all the vegetables and everything. And while we have been known to make a few jigs dinners, our special occasions are not jigs dinner vegetable occasions. We have potatoes. They're usually mashed potatoes or squash people and squash over turnip. I remember trying to explain to someone once that we don't put all our vegetables in one pot. And she was appalled.
Yeah, right. Why wouldn't you? That's right.
Yeah.
Save on the washing.
Yeah, but that's what we do.
Thanks so much, Sharon.
All right, no problem. Okay. Thanks.
Standing outside the vine. Standing outside the fire. Life is not tried, it is merely survived. If you're standing outside the fire. Standing outside the fire. Standing outside the fire. Life is not tried, it is merely survived. If you're standing outside the fire. Outside the fire, standing outside the fire. Life is not tried, it is merely survived. If you're standing outside the fire.
That was Standing Outside the Fire by Garth Brooks, as requested by one of my guests today, Sharon Wright. Next up, we'll chat with three of her students in the AgTech program at CNA. We met them last week.
JC Bennett, Amy Mercer,
and
Stephanie Jeffrey.
In this section, I rather awkwardly raise the question of gender and farming, and we'll hear more about their experience in the Agriculture Technician program.
My name is JC Bennett, and I come from Stephenville, Newfoundland.
Yeah. My name is Amy Mercer. I also come from Stephenville.
My name is Stephanie Jeffrey, and I come from McIvers.
I
don't want to be too observant, but I noticed that you're all women. I don't know if it's appropriate to be observant these days. You get into trouble. What's the breakdown, the gender breakdown in your
split,
class?
Were we right down the middle?
Do you find any barriers?
Well, we have our little group, our little farm girls group.
A women in agriculture farm girls group?
We have a Snapchat group chat that's called the Farm Girls.
The Farm Girls.
Or the Farm Gals.
Yeah, gals. Yeah. It kind of happened by accident for one of our labs, and then it just stayed.
I found that there hasn't been any challenges really being a woman in agriculture, and if anything, people are very receptive to the idea of me being in agriculture. They love it. It's nice to have that kind of equality. Like, I haven't seen anyone be mean about it or anything. Yeah. And even when I was working on my farm, we had 3 guys and a lot of girls. Like, it was mostly women. Mm-hmm. And we all got the work done. Like, it was great. There was no issues at all.
I was the only woman on my farm. In the first couple of weeks, I have to say I really found it challenging, just because the employees that were there before me, they all had a system. And then my classmate that worked with me, he grew up on a farm. So he very much had the skill and had the previous knowledge of what to do. And for me, I'd never done this type of thing before. My body wasn't used to the movements. You know, you're literally bent over all day long, and my body just, it took a long time to catch up and to get there. And for the first 2 weeks, I left there every day crying, because I was, I just can't do it. Like, I can't keep up. I don't have the speed. I don't have the efficiency, we'll call it, to be able to do what everybody else around me is doing. And I definitely felt like a minority, I guess, as a young woman in my first time ever working in that kind of work. So I definitely struggled. I don't know that it was because I was a woman, but because I was new to the experience, new to the labor intensity, new to working in the heat.
And it was hot last summer.
It was extremely hot last summer. Yeah. It was the worst summer to choose to farm, but for your first
time. Or the best.
I really got to know my limitations as a woman and as a farmer.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with gender roles. I'm going to thank my father for that, because I grew up, I was first born, and I was daddy's little boy, dad's little girl. That was everything, right? Like, you know, my father, I remember him from very young age saying, you do what you want to do, you be whatever you want to be, and don't you ever let anybody tell you you can't. Mm-hmm. And don't especially let them tell you you can't because you're a girl. I was 4 years old standing on the Salmon River with my father, or my grandfather, casting a line, you know, and I didn't even think about it. And it was only in the past couple of years when I've realized there was only one woman I ever met on that river. And I remember her being very excited to see me and to see me there fishing, and I thought it was because I was a kid. And she was happy to see somebody young into it. But now as a woman, I look back and realize, oh God, it was because I was a woman. I was a girl. I was female. And this wasn't typically a female, but I joined the military. That's not typically a female thing, but I cook, I bake, I sew, I do all these typical female things, but I hunt, I fish. I help my dad build our house as I was growing. Like, I've done all these things. My sister's a mechanical engineer, so I think she also took the same cues from my father. My brother bakes and cooks. So we never really got that. We were never really held down by any sort of gender barriers. Yeah. And you see things because you see other people who are struggling with that. And I've come across it in my life and seen it from other women. And my answer to that is to try to help them through it and help them realize why they're feeling like that. Or you don't need to feel like that. This can be done. This is how we get past it. And we've had this discussion amongst our class. I love the women in my class. We are so encouraging and
empowering
each other. A lot of times women get in groups and they feel the need to have to compete against each other. Mm-hmm. There's none of that in this class. We empower each other and we strengthen each other. And I feel like I have made bonds in this classroom, which I will take with me, so that if I'm having a problem with what I'm doing, I'll message one of my girls and be like, hey, what are you doing? Didn't you do this before? How did this work for you? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I will get an answer like that. And I feel like it's going to be a positive encouragement. That's my feel, because I love you guys.
That's wonderful to hear. And in Newfoundland and Labrador, like many other areas, there are so many women who are strong women who are in agriculture. And sometimes they aren't the self-identified farmer because they're working on the farm, but maybe they're not.
Absolutely.
They're not on the poster.
Like, my mom would call herself a farmer, but my mom's held my sister's farm on her back for quite a few years.
Yeah.
She is the labor, the workforce. She's unfortunately sometimes our mule, you know, like she's that laboring along, you know, person, but you'll never hear her complain.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a lot of that. Yeah. There's always that strong woman, right?
Yeah. If you were to talk to somebody who's thinking about maybe doing this program or thinking about going into farming in general, do you have something you would say to them? Now, I know you're not getting paid by anybody to do an advertisement for
this. We're not, right?
Sorry, well, we could see if that would
somebody
work.
Somebody did ask me if I was getting paid for this podcast. This
oh, really?
I was like, no, I'm definitely volunteering.
I wish I got paid for it.
I am definitely very encouraging to people who reach out to me, which it has happened. I had a friend of mine reach out recently and was like, my sister's, you know, just still in high school. She's looking to do something and she's interested in this agriculture program. Like, what can you tell me about it? If nothing else, this program is interesting. The things that I've learned, the black holes I've gone into on YouTube, like when we're doing assignments, I think I've mentioned this to Sharon and Caleb before, just the loopholes that I find myself into. I'm looking at one thing and then that takes me on a completely different direction and I'm lost in the world of agriculture and all of its interesting aspects. We learn a lot and it's very active. We do farm visits. We are actually getting our hands in the dirt. We plant. There's that application of what we're learning that keeps us all inspired and keeps us wanting more.
What would you say to
it? I think if you're thinking of doing it, I think you should do it. Because I know people in this program who were kind of on the fence about it. Once they start, they love it. And you never really know until you try. And if there was ever a place to learn about farming, unless you're going to work on a farm, I think this is the best place. It's a great education. It's a great experience to meet lots of people. There's lots of opportunities. And it really prepares you for like everything you kind of need to know because it's a very diverse course. I think everyone who's interested in it should try.
Excellent.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody coming away from doing this and being like, that's really unfortunate I did this course. Like, I can't imagine anybody thinking that, because if anything, you gain life skills.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. You know, it's not just, yes, it's hard work. Yes, there's a lot of learning, but sometimes you're learning, you don't even realize you're learning because it's life skills or because it's, we're out there doing something in the lab. You're doing some silly little thing and you're like, oh, that's what that is? It's just the little things, just as a practical application, this makes sense. I think more education needs to be going towards the practical application. We all kind of be doctors and lawyers, and the trades are what's holding up the economy. And we need more farms. We need more small farms. Then come on, everybody do the course. Let's go.
And I want to mention the two wealths of knowledge that we have standing at the front of our classroom.
That's right.
Yes.
Sharon and Caleb literally are inspiring in of themselves, and the things that we've learned just from things that they've learned, and they let us have conversation. You know, it's not always just stick to the book. Like, they do let us ramble sometimes, and the learning that we acquire from our little rants, as Stephanie said, Sharon and Caleb are amazing, and they teach us everything that they know that they can.
And I mean, what other teacher is going to be brave enough to let us have an actual debate on GMOs in the middle of a class? And she's done it 3 years in a row, so literally, she's really...
Was there a decision?
Well,
one
no.
side win?
It was honestly, we're stopping here.
Honestly, I think she picked people who she knew were going to be on the and gave them the opposite side
right,
of what they wanted,
yeah.
So there wouldn't be too much...
It was a heated debate.
Just like in society in general. That's right.
It was a heated debate.
No, there was no figuring. Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to figure that one out.
This is midterm week. You should really be studying, right?
We're okay.
Sharon's done. We're good.
That's right.
Yeah, both of Sharon's exams are done.
Okay.
So we're okay.
But thanks for taking the time, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks. Thank you, Arvin.
The stewardship and husbandry type stuff, I think, is more of the important skills. I don't know if there's any other business where you have as much uncertainty.
I definitely struggled. I was new to the experience, new to the labor intensity, new to working in the heat.
The women in my class, we are so encouraging and empowering each other.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of the show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. To send me a message, email me at iemke@grenfell.mun.ca. For music on today's show, we heard Garth Brooks with his song Standing Outside the Fire. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys. This show was made possible by a grant from the Community Radio Fund of Canada and is produced by the Voice of Bombay Radio Network and Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Imke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
More than 50% of our classes are still involved in agriculture.
You never really know until you try.
You're doing some silly little thing and you're like, oh, that's what that is?
I'm lost in the world of agriculture and all of its interesting aspects. Standing outside the